Welcome to the first podcast of A Voice for the Mountains, a program dedicated to ending the destructive environmental practice of mountaintop removal mining that is destroying our beautiful Appalachian Mountains even as I speak. Opening up tonight's program was a beautiful piece by acoustic guitarist Chris Proctor called Mountaineer Creek. You can visit Chris at his website, www.chrisproctor.com. My name is Barbara Strangfeld, and I am your host for the program. We'll be focusing on new stories about mountaintop removal mining. I'd like to thank the good folks at Appalachian Voices and I Love Mountains for the information and background on mountaintop removal mining. Be sure and visit their websites at www.appvoices.org and ilovemountains.org. All of the opinions expressed on this show are solely my own. Our audio producer is Joseph Puentes at the waterpodcast.com project, and he's a terrific producer, and we thank him for all of his hard work and efforts. First up, for those listeners who want to know a little bit about mountaintop removal mining, here's a brief summary of the process. Mountaintop removal is a relatively new type of coal mining that began in Appalachia in the 1970s, as an extension of conventional strip mining. Primarily, mountaintop removal is occurring in West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee. Coal companies in Appalachia are increasingly using this method because it allows for almost complete recovery of coal seams while reducing the number of workers required to do a fraction of what conventional methods require. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency defines mountaintop removal as follows. Mountaintop removal is a mining practice where the tops of mountains are removed, exposing the seams of coal. Mountaintop removal can involve removing 500 feet or more of the summit to get at buried seams of coal. The earth from the mountaintop is then dumped into the neighboring valleys. Now, while the mountaintop removal process started in the 70s, in 2002, the current administration in Washington made a rule change to the Clean Water Act, which was passed originally in 1977, which redefined fill material in order to include mining waste. Since debris from mountaintop removal is now acceptable fill material, coal companies are dumping millions of tons of mine waste into nearby streams using a streamlined permitting process. As its designers intended, this has greatly facilitated the devastating practice of mountaintop removal. Just briefly, mountaintop removal involves a six-step process. The first step is clearing. Before mining can begin, all the topsoil and vegetation must be removed. That is, the mountain is completely clear-cut, and often the timber is wasted, furthering the devastation, just burned or dumped illegally into valley fills. The second step is the horrendous blasting. Many Appalachian coal seams lie deep below the surface of the mountains. Accessing these seams through surface mining can require the removal of 500 to 800 feet or more of elevation. Blowing up this much mountain is accomplished by using millions of pounds of explosives. The third step is digging. Coal and debris are removed by using this piece of machinery called a drag line. A drag line stands 22 stories high and can hold 24 compact cars in its bucket. Quite a piece of machinery. These machines cost up to $100 million, but are favored by coal companies because they displace the need for hundreds of jobs. The fourth step is dumping the waste. The waste from the mining operation, also known as overburden or spoil, is then dumped into nearby valleys, burying streams. According to an EPA environmental impact statement, more than 1,000 miles of Appalachian streams were permitted to be buried as of 2001. The fifth part of this terrible process is actually known as processing. The coal is washed and treated before it is loaded on trains. The excess water left over from this process is called coal slurry or sludge. and is stored in open coal impoundments. Coal sludge is a mix of water, coal dust, clay, and toxic chemicals such as arsenic, mercury, lead, copper, and chromium. Impoundments are held in place by mining debris, making them very unstable. And all through Appalachia, there are many of these coal slurry impoundments, environmental disasters waiting to happen. The final part of this process is called reclamation. While reclamation efforts such as stabilization and revegetation are required for mountaintop removal sites, in practice, state agencies that regulate mining are generous with granting waivers to coal companies. Most sites receive little more than a spraying of exotic grass seed. But even the best reclamation provides no comfort to nearby families and communities whose drinking water supplies have been polluted and whose homes will be threatened by floods for hundreds or thousands of years. Now, in 1977, the Clean Water Act was enacted by Congress to restore and maintain the chemical, physical, and biological integrity of the nation's waters. And it prohibited the dumping of material into waterways for the purpose of waste disposal. In 2002, the current administration made a rule change which redefined fill material in order to include mining waste. Since debris from mountaintop removal is now acceptable fill material, coal companies are dumping millions of tons of mine waste into nearby streams using a streamlined permitting process. As its designers intended, this has greatly facilitated the practice of mountaintop removal. Now, if you'd like to find out even more about this horrendous environmental practice, I urge you to visit the excellent websites ilovemountains.org or the one from Appalachian Voices, www.appvoices.org. They're excellent sites. And again, I highly recommend that you visit and learn even more about this process. Another place that is great to visit is filemagazine.com. And on there, look for the project on coal and Appalachia by a wonderful photographer, Daniel Shea. He's done a great project that's just been put up in February. And it's called, again, On Coal and Appalachia. And in his words, Daniel says, in the summer of 2007, I began shooting a body of work surrounding the coal industry in Appalachia. What began as an interest in the modern coal mining process known as mountaintop removal quickly evolved into an extensive survey of the social, political, and perhaps most importantly, cultural implications of extracting coal from Appalachian mountains. What I found over the course of the trip was that these coal mining processes had quickly developed into one of the most destructive and pervasive forms of modern industry in the world. Quite an indictment. You can see Daniel's poignant work, which File Magazine says, with its images of the destructive power of industry juxtaposed against the quiet lives of the region's residents, it is sobering, poignant, and powerful. Again, visit filemagazine.com for this excellent project by Daniel Shea. Now let's turn to some national news about mountaintop removal mining. Our national report is from 700mountains.org, which released this press release on February 14th. And it concerns the U.S. Department of Interior Office of Surface Mining's proposal to weaken the stream buffer zone and unleash even more mountaintop removal coal mining. And what they reported that during the public comment period for this proposed rule change, no fewer than 43,000 Americans spoke out during this period, and the overwhelming majority of those comments were opposed to the industry backdraft rule that would weaken the stream buffer zone and pave the way for significantly more mountaintop removal-related pollution, including the potential leveling of up to 700 additional mountains over the next 10 years. Just think, 700 of our beautiful Appalachian mountains would be destroyed if this rule goes through. In further reporting of this, 700 Mountains has said that in conversations with their representatives, two Office of Surface Mining officials confirmed the total number of comments and the extraordinarily high level of opposition. The public has clearly spoken. Mountaintop removal is a national disgrace, and Bush should not change another rule in order to help Big Coal blow up more mountains and bury more streams, said Chuck Nelson, a former deep miner and volunteer with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, the West Virginia Citizens Groups. How can 43,000 people stand up and speak like we spoke against this destruction and somebody not hear us, asked Carl Shoup of Harlan County, a member of Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. It's humanly impossible for me to fathom. The strong opposition to the Office of Surface Mining's proposed rule is consistent with the findings of a September 2007 survey sponsored by 700mountains.org. They're a project of the nonprofit and nonpartisan Civil Society Institute think tank. That survey, conducted by the Opinion Research Corporation, showed that 2 out of 3 Americans, that's 65% of us, oppose the Bush administration's proposed rule to ease environmental regulations to permit wider use of mountaintop removal coal mining in the United States. The survey also found that the Bush administration plan to permit wider mountaintop removal coal mining is favored by only about 1 out of every 4 Americans, or 26%, including just 14% of Democrats, 27% of independents, and only 42% of Republicans. The full survey findings are available online at 700mountains.org. Now let's turn to some state news. Over in West Virginia, the Daily Athenaeum reported on Monday, February 11th, a bill opposing mountaintop removal was introduced by State Senator John Blair Hunter, who's currently chair of the Energy, Industry, and Mining Committee. And he introduced a bill to make the problems associated with mountaintop removal known. In the long run, all this coal is mineable by other means, Hunter said. And I'd like to give a great tip of the hat to Senator John Blair Hunter. If you live in his district, send him a thank you note. In fact, if you live anywhere in the Appalachian regions, send him a thank you note. This really takes courage to stand up to Big Coal right in Big Coal's backyard. The article further says that the process of mountaintop removal involves blowing the tops off of mountains, then pushing excess land into streams and valleys in order to scrape out the remaining coal, said James Cotton, president of the West Virginia Environmental Council. We believe that coal mining needs to be done responsibly and have difficulty seeing how blowing up mountaintops in any way fits that definition, Cookin said. This legislation would be one step in the right direction. The introduced bill states that its purpose is to prevent the placement of excess spoil or overburden in or within 100 feet of an intermittent or perennial stream. As of now, this method of coal mining has covered 1,200 miles of streams and blown up 1.4 million acres of mountaintop. Hunter said that mountaintop removal uses enough dynamite in 2 weeks to equal the impact of the atomic bomb the United States used over Hiroshima. While the environmental hazards such as pollution, flooding, and sometimes irreparable damage are great, there are also many negative health effects for people living in the mining areas. Hunter said the amount of autism cases, cancer, and respiratory diseases is higher in areas near mountaintop removal sites. Hunter also said mountaintop removal is bad for our economy because it hurts tourism in West Virginia, as people often visit the state for its scenic quality and recreation. Once again, a big tip of the hat to Senator John Blair Hunter for his stand on this issue. And our thanks to Gwen Schoolcraft, who reported this again in the Daily Athenaeum on Monday, February 11th. Now let's go over to the state of Virginia. On Sunday, February 17th, in the Bristol Herald Courier, Andrea Hopkins, the opinion editor, wrote a wonderful editorial regarding mountaintop removal. And I urge you to go on their website, that's the Bristol Herald Courier, and read this editorial in its entirety. Right now, I'm just going to read you a portion, but it's very poignant. Standing on a rocky outcropping high on Black Mountain in Wise County, the horizon stretches for miles. But the view isn't suitable for a picture postcard. Tree-covered ridges once stood there, but now there is a vast, empty stretch of disturbed earth. No birds sing. Nothing moves, except the coal and logging trucks that traverse the winding mountain roads that lead to Kentucky. For better or worse, this is what surface mining looks like. It's an inherently destructive process that is consuming more of the nation's mountains in a bid to slake an unquenchable thirst for energy. Now, there are some other events going on in the state of Virginia. And the first one I'd like to highlight was written about on the CCAN blog, and that's the Chesapeake Climate Organization. And you can, again, look on their website and read this in its entirety. But I'd like to just summarize it for you and talk about the good House Representative Moran, who was there as well. Hundreds of Northern Virginians gathered at a town hall meeting last night to discuss the antiquated use of coal in Virginia and the opportunities provided by a clean energy future. The public forum, which drew an estimated 200 people, focused on the connection between two coal-fired plants in Virginia, the Morant plant in Alexandria and the proposed Dominion power plant in Wise County, and mountaintop removal coal mining. Burning fossil fuels is the single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions, and burning coal is about the worst thing we can do, said Congressman Jim Moran. With 50% of our electricity generated by coal-fired power plants, it will take a realistic but focused and determined effort to reduce greenhouse emissions from coal-fired plants and increase the use of cleaner alternative sources of energy. I'd like to again give another tip of the hat to the Congressman Jim Moran. Not only was he here at this town meeting and really spent some time talking to people about the issue of coal and mountaintop removal mining, but he signed on as a co-sponsor H.R. 2169, a bill currently in the House, which has 128 co-sponsors. And this is a bill to change the Clean Water Protection Act to eliminate the administrative rule change that the Bush administration made to enable mountaintop removal mining to be much more economical. This would stop that. And as I said, there are 128 co-sponsors now. But, you know, it's one thing to sign on as a co-sponsor in California where there's no coal mining, although I thank all of those congressmen for doing that. But it's quite another to sign on as a co-sponsor if you are in coal's backyard. It takes a lot of courage. And so we thank Jim Moran especially for his courageous stand. And again, if you live in his district or anywhere in Virginia, write him a thank you note. Now, there's some more things going on in the state of Virginia, and there is a number of things in a number of states focused around Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was used as an opportunity by numbers of people who are concerned about the Appalachian Mountains and this horrendous process of mountaintop removal mining to take a minute and tell their officials, state and federal, how much they love their mountains. What a great thing to do. And let's focus on a couple of them. Over at WHS-TV3, they did a story on some James Madison University students who spent Valentine's Day proving how much they love Virginia's mountains. The campus group JMU Earth held a silent dinner auction selling dishes prepared by students to raise money for their Mountain Justice spring break. And they plan to ask Governor Tim Kaine to stop the construction of a coal plant in Wise County. And they also plan to spend this year's Mountain Justice spring break in Southwest Virginia learning more about the effects of mountaintop coal removal and the effects that it has on the planet. So great work, students, and we congratulate you for your efforts. And the Collegiate Times reports that also on Valentine's Day, students at Virginia Tech along with students at 11 other Virginia colleges and universities, and we just heard about James Madison. But anyway, the students at Virginia Tech delivered hundreds of Valentine's Day cards to Governor Tim Kaine. And the Environmental Coalition at Tech led the drive on campus to collect these cards and photo petitions over the past 2 weeks. And the cards sported messages such as, "We love our mountains and so should you this Valentine's Day. We hope that Kaine takes a strong stand and becomes a leader on this issue like many already have," said Tim Owens, the Virginia campus coordinator. And according to a press release, this plant that is planned in Virginia is required to use coal mined in Virginia, which will exacerbate the practice of mountaintop removal coal mining. 29 mountains in Virginia have already been destroyed by mountaintop removal mining. And we can see from the past couple of months that this issue of coal and climate change have improved greatly across the state, and that's thanks to people like Mr. Owens and all of the students at Virginia Tech. I know they've been very active on this issue, and we thank them for their efforts. Now let's switch over to the state of Kentucky. They too had their Valentine's Day efforts and actually started on February 2nd, where an overflow crowd filled the First Unitarian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and they were showing their support for the statewide citizens group, Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. We heard about their efforts a little earlier in the podcast, but many participants on this night joined to pledge support to the group's work, joining the I Love Mountains Valentine's Day citizen lobby efforts and in Frankfort, Kentucky. And they raised over $6,000 and were joined by many outstanding folk musicians such as Ron Penn, Randy Wilson, Nora Ben and Eli, Rich Kirby and the Poe Folks, Carrie Norris and the Real World String Band, as well as by renowned poet Wendell Berry. And it was a very successful effort, and that led to an even more successful Capitol rally on Valentine's Day. And the Courier-Journal in Louisville, Kentucky, had a great report on this. James Brugers of the Courier-Journal reported that, "Chanting our streams, our future," hundreds of people gathered at the Capitol yesterday to support legislation that they say would protect Kentucky waterways from surface mining. And they were there to support a bill which was sponsored by Representative Don Pasley, which would prohibit waste rock blasted from the sides and tops of the mountains to be placed in the upper reaches of hollows where natural streams are buried. 3 years after it was first introduced, the bill has yet to get a hearing in the General Assembly. Representative Tom Reiner said it was time to go over the head of the chairman who has kept the bill bottled up. "They can make those committee chairs do what they want," Reiner said, mentioning several leaders by name, and did not, although the House leadership would not say whether a hearing on the bill would be held this session, added it's the chair's responsibility to determine what issues a committee considers. So Representative Jim Gooch, who is the chairman of the National Resources and Environment Committee, was not available yesterday afternoon to say whether it would be considered, but last week he told the Courier-Journal that he wasn't sure of the purpose of the hearing. Well, I think a lot of us can tell him what the purpose of the hearing. At the rally, organized by the social justice group Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, Mr. Brugers writes, "Speakers condemned the destruction of eastern Kentucky mountains to get coal for electricity, especially for the practice of burying the upper reaches of streams with waste rock and valley fills." In 2003, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency estimated that 1,200 miles of headwater streams in Appalachia were directly impacted by mountaintop mining and the valley fills between 1992 and 2002. Last year, the Federal Office of Surface Mining accounted for hundreds of more miles that were being impaired. So we thank Mr. Brugers for his reporting of this event. Now, another report by the Kentucky Colonel also highlights the same rally and said that instead of flowers and candy, thousands of people gave the state legislators something to think about on Valentine's Day. Kentuckians for the Commonwealth and other environmental organizations rallied yesterday at the Capitol building in Frankfort, yesterday being Valentine's Day, to protest mountaintop removal, a form of strip mining where explosives are used to blast the top of mountains to mine the coal beneath. The group is lobbying on behalf of House Bill 164, also known as the Stream Saver Bill, which would require all strip mine mountains to be restored to their original contour. This cause is more important in terms of people, not just the land, said University of Kentucky senior Matt Harmon. They are destroying people's backyards, and not just that. It's like they're destroying the backyard, both side yards and half of the front yard. Harmon also said he's seen how mountaintop removal pollutes surrounding water. It's destroying people's lives, Harmon said. Many protesters said they were pleased with the day's turnout. It's been a bigger crowd than I imagined it would be, said Ricky Hanshew, a member of the Kentuckians for the Commonwealth who lives in eastern Kentucky. Hanshew said the mining near his home is getting out of control. Well, just know, all of you Kentuckians, that there are a lot of us all over the country who sympathize with you and who are fighting for you to end this terrible environmental practice of mountaintop removal mining. Over in North Carolina, the Daily Tar Heel reports that at the University of North Carolina, even the candidates for their student body presidents are getting involved in the issue. J.J. Rayner, one of the candidates, has a platform extensively researched with footnotes backing up her ideas. And one of her platforms, she also continues, would like to continue to discourage the use of mountaintop removal coal, an effort started by former student body president James Allred and continued by student body president Carson. And Rayner said that students are more concerned about the environment than past generations. This is the issue of our generation, she said. We are educated about the environment, but we need to continue to encourage that climate here. And again, our thanks to students like J.J. Rayner, who are really calling their fellow students attention to this issue and encouraging activism to end mountaintop removal mining. And over in the state of South Carolina, the Post and Courier reporter David Quick reported the following. He asked you if you could name the worst environmental disaster in United States history. Mr. Quick says, I bet you guessed the 1989 wreck of the Exxon Valdez, which spilled 11 million gallons of crude oil into Alaska's pristine Prince William Sound and beyond. It was a national tragedy that even the most ardent of anti-environmentalists wouldn't deny. But I bet you didn't know or perhaps didn't remember another tragedy that took place just over 7 years ago in Martin County in Kentucky. It involved 300 million gallons of coal slurry, a thick pudding-like waste from mining operations spilling out of a reservoir and flooding the land, polluting rivers, killing everything in streams for 100 miles and destroying property in eastern Kentucky and southwestern Virginia. The slurry, which contains hazardous chemicals such as arsenic and mercury, is the byproduct of yet another multifaceted environmental tragedy that's been taking place since the 1970s and continues into this era of energy volatility. It's called mountaintop removal. What a great lead into the article, Mr. Quick. I really appreciated that. And it was a lead-in to a story about a program that was taking place in South Carolina in Charleston, and it was posted on charleston.net. And it talks about a man named David Cooper, a retired engineer who travels this country talking about mountaintop removal, and he was going to bring his mountaintop removal roadshow to the local Sierra Club. And he does this, again, all over the country. And what I'd like you all to do, if you are listening, is to visit his website, which is basically called mountainroadshow.com. And, again, find out all about his activities, and maybe Mr. Cooper is coming to a location near you, and you can hear his Mountain Roadshow for yourself. And, again, a tip of the hat to people like Mr. Cooper who get out and spread the word about mountaintop removal mining. That's what makes all the difference. Okay, and we're rounding up our podcast for the night, but I have just a couple more things. First of all, if you've been intrigued by the news and the information that you've heard here, I would urge you to get an excellent book written by Michael Schneerson called Coal River. There was a very good review of this book in the Christian Science Monitor in January 29th edition. It's called How the Mountains of Appalachia Disappeared, written by Amanda Paulson, and you can find it on the web at the Christian Science Monitor website. And just to read you a brief excerpt from her excellent review, Ms. Paulson writes that in Coal River, Schneerson focuses on one valley in southern West Virginia and the battle raging between many of its residents and Massey Energy, the largest of West Virginia's coal companies and the most egregious offender both in terms of the environment and its workers' well-being, and the Army Corps of Engineers, the federal agency that issues mining permits. The book reads in large part like a courtroom drama as activists file lawsuit after lawsuit in attempts to make changes not just to individual mines or permits, but to the whole mountaintop mining industry. It's not easy to make lawsuits and appeal scintillating reading, especially those that involve complex mining regulations and technical terminology. But Schneerson does a valiant job, and for anyone remotely interested in the region, the coal industry or the devastation being caused by mountaintop mining, both to Appalachia's complex forest and stream ecology, as well to its rich culture, this book is gripping. So I recommend both the book and, again, going on Christian Science Monitor's website to read this review in its entirety. And our thanks to Ms. Paulson for calling it to our attention. And finally, the final article that I'd like to summarize for you is one written by someone who is very renowned for his environmental work. And we'd especially like to thank him for taking time out of his very busy life, which is completely dedicated to preserving our environment. And that is Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. And he, on the official Google blog, wrote an excellent piece called You Are Connected to Mountaintop Removal. And he wrote this piece to really highlight the use of Google Earth and the techniques which are used on the ilovemountains.org website, and to urge everyone to look at this website. And I'd just like to quote a little bit from his excellent piece, and again urge you to visit the Google blog and read it for yourself in its entirety. But what he says is, if the American people could see what I have seen from the air and ground during my many trips to the coal fields of Kentucky and West Virginia, leveled mountains, devastated communities, wrecked economies, and ruined lives, there would be a revolution in this country. Thanks to Google Earth, you can now visit coal country without ever having to leave your home. Every presidential candidate and every American ought to take a few seconds to visit an ingenious new website created by nonprofit organizations in Appalachia that lets you tour the obliterated landscapes of Appalachia. He goes on to say that we are literally cutting down the historic landscapes where Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett roamed, and they are so much a source of Americans' values, character, and culture. Mountaintop mining poisons water supplies, pollutes the air, destroys hundreds of miles of North America's most ancient and biologically diverse hardwood forest, and permanently impoverishes local communities. For too long, this devastation has been hidden in the remote, poverty-stricken communities of Appalachia. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy, for speaking out on this important issue. And thanks to all of you listeners who have taken the time to hear this podcast and learn a little bit about mountaintop removal mining. I urge you to visit all of these websites. And if you have some opinions that you'd like to share with us, you can email us at stopmtr@waterpodcast.com. That's stopmtr@waterpodcast.com, because we love to read your comments or thoughts on the issue on the air. And finally, the great 13th century Zen master Dzogchen writes in his elegant Mountains and Rivers Sutra that although mountains belong to the nation, mountains belong to the people who love them. If you love the Appalachian Mountains, why don't you become a voice for the mountains, too? Thank you, and good night.